darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
And it's my distinct honor to be with you in behalf of Abraham Hamilton III. I can't be Abraham Hamilton III. I'll do my best to be E.W. Jackson. How's that? But I'm grateful for the opportunity to sit in for him. And I believe he will be back tomorrow. But thank you all for the opportunity to speak to you, and thank AFR for trusting me behind the microphone once again. Used to do this every day, do it less often these days, but I'm always happy when I have an opportunity to do it. I want to remind you that I do have a podcast. I had some callers yesterday say, the podcast deal. It's really not terribly technical. You do need a computer. And be able to go to afr.net. All you have to do is click on the program. It's very easy to find. And you can listen to my podcast, which is on once a week. It posts on Wednesday. Well, it's actually archived there, so you can listen to it anytime, but it posts on Wednesday. And in fact, I taped a program today that will air tomorrow. So I'm on three times this week, twice for Abe and once for The Awakening Podcast, which airs on, again, posts, at least, I should say, on Wednesdays. Well, look, folks, first of all, you know, you can tell that I'm rusty for those of you who were listening yesterday, because when I signed off, I said, we'll be back in a moment. And little did I know that my moments were gone. And my producer said, that was the end of the program. I said, what? Wow. I'll tell you, I was having fun, and the time just flew by, and I didn't have the clock sitting in front of me, and I simply lost track. But today I will be cognizant of the end of the program, because I always hate to see it come to an end. So I'll be aware of that moment. So you all pray for me, and I'll be praying for you. You know, I always say how grateful to God I am, and to Brother Don and to the AFR team, for this network, because I believe it's really one of the few places left in America where you can get the unvarnished, unadulterated, uncompromising truth. And that is truth from a biblical perspective, which is the true perspective. And every other perspective that people try to give you, generally speaking, is either an out-and-out lie or at best an approximation of truth. I was thinking about what is going on in Los Angeles in light of that very issue, the truth, how important it is, how essential it is. How Jesus said, you know the truth makes you free. And I've said many times, well, if that's true, then the corollary is true. If the truth makes you free, then lies put you in bondage. And anywhere you find tyranny, anywhere you find abuse of power, authority over people, subjugation of people, you will find lies, because lies feed subjugation. Lies feed the deprivation of liberty, because you have to lie to people and lie about people in order to get people to buy into tyranny and to buy into totalitarianism and to buy into depriving people of their liberty. And sadly, we have got a whole industry of lies in our country right now. That's one of the things we are fighting, and one of the reasons why this is a political battle. I meant to say why this is a spiritual battle, more, if not more, than it is a political battle. Because we're dealing with Satan's chief stock in trade, which is lies and deception. Jesus said he's a liar and the father of lies. When he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own. In other words, it's of his own invention, his own making. It's something he himself concocted. The ability and the willingness to twist the truth and to put forth something that closely enough approximates it that it deceives people. I'll remind you all, he quoted the scripture to Jesus, right? He quoted the scripture to Jesus, but he did it with the intent of deceiving him because he shaded what it meant. He put his own little patina, his own little interpretation on it as to what it meant. For him, it meant disobeying God and eating when you've been called to fast. For him, it meant committing suicide, jumping off of a high pinnacle when you haven't been told by God to do that. You've been told by God to walk the dusty streets of Judea and Samaria and Galilee and preach the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news that the Messiah has come. So he quoted scripture to him, but it was all in the interest of deceiving him and manipulating him and misleading him. And of course, Jesus bought into none of it. He quoted the scripture back to him and quoted it accurately as to exactly what the scripture demanded of us and demanded of him and demands of us. So the truth really is liberating and lies really are captivating. They lock us in. They lock us down. They incarcerate us. They bind us. They addict us. I remember Jesus said, whoever commits sin, and that word commits means not just whoever does sin, but whoever is committed to sin, whoever lives a life of sin, whoever makes sin their goal is the slave of sin. And what's that based on? You bought the lie that somehow you'll be better off, that somehow you'll be stronger, bigger, more powerful, more fulfilled, happier, if you just do this rather than doing what God told you to do. And that's exactly how Satan deceived Eve. Well, you know, when you eat this fruit, you're going to be like God. Well, they were already like God. They were already made in his image and in his likeness. And the fruit wasn't going to make them more like God. It's going to make them less like God. But, you know, she saw that it was a tree that was pleasant to the eyes. It was a tree that could make one wise and good to eat. I don't know how she saw all that, but Satan made her see all that. And before you know it, boom, the fall. She got exactly the opposite, further from God than she had ever been by disobeying him and buying into the lies of the enemy. Well, folks, we've got an industry of that in our country right now. And, you know, I thought about this with regard to President Trump. Think about this for a moment. President Trump has said some things that has just driven the media and the left and the Democrat Party just absolutely out of their gores. I mean, so President Trump said years ago, what, 8 or 9 years ago now, about the influx of illegal aliens coming across our border. They're not sending us their best. They're sending us rapists. They're sending us robbers. They're sending us murderers, et cetera, et cetera. And they just went crazy. Called him a racist, this, that, and the other. But you know what? He told the truth. And we're now seeing it, aren't we? I mean, we've been seeing it for years. But it just becomes more and more starkly and clearly true day by day. Because, I mean, right now, for example, ICE, during these riots in LA, they arrested several illegal aliens, and they were all already guilty of heinous crimes: child molestation, manslaughter, murder, robbery, identity theft, fraud against the government. President Trump wasn't saying there aren't good people in South America, but he was saying those aren't the people they're sending across the border to our country. In fact, in some cases, as the case of Venezuela, Cuba did the same thing. They're sending us, they're intentionally sending us their worst so they can get rid of them and so they can plague our country. He was telling the absolute truth. Do you remember when he said that the press were the enemies of the people? And again, oh, he's that's a terrible thing to say. He can't say that. How can he do that? He's putting these people at risk. No, he was telling the truth. They are the enemies of the people. Because again, they're liars. And your friends and your allies, the people that you can trust, the people who have your best interests at heart, are not people who lie to you. They're people who make sure that you know what the truth is. People who lie to you because they don't have your best interests at heart. Whether they call themselves your enemies or not, or you recognize them as your enemies or not, they are your enemies. Because they're going to hurt you. You know, my father used to say, people say that, you know, what you don't know won't hurt you. My father said, that's a lie. What you don't know will kill you. And they want to make sure that you don't know anything that you really ought to know, and that the things that you do know aren't even true. You call it fake news. I mean, and I think that's one of the president's charms, because he's just, the president, it seems, is almost just incapable of obfuscating and you know, quote, sort of misleading and deceiving. He really just is a very, very straightforward, truthful, honest person. I think that's just in part the way he's wired, the way God wired him, maybe for this moment. And the left can't stand that, because their whole ideology is built on lies. And when you get a president and a prominent political figure like Donald Trump just giving you the unvarnished truth, man, that just knocks down their house of cards. They cannot stand that. So this guy, Terry Moran, has now been fired from ABC. He was suspended, now fired, because he tweeted a bunch of lies about Stephen Miller primarily, but about the president as well, and said basically that their whole reason for being is hatred, which, again, is a lie. I really believe that President Trump loves this country, loves the American people, and while I think he doesn't take well to people who backstab him and betray him and that kind of thing, obviously, and nobody does, I just don't see President Trump as a hater at all. I think he's driven not by hatred of anybody or any people. I think he's driven by love for our country and love for our people. And it just shows when he's interacting with people, shows when he goes to these sports events, shows when he brings people to the White House, how he plays with them and talks to them and interacts with them. I mean, he's just, even when he deals with the press, which we know for the most part, he doesn't like these folks, but he's very gracious with them. He calls them out when he thinks they're wrong, of course, but there's just no hatefulness in him. But, of course, Terry Moran slandered him and slandered Stephen Miller and said basically, you know, they eat, drink, and sleep hatred. Because what are they trying to do? They're trying to get people who may not know much about them, to dislike them and to distrust them. And they're trying to get people who already dislike them to dislike them more, to be more passionate in their opposition to them by mischaracterizing them this way. Well, he's supposed to be a journalist, and they're supposed to at least seek objectivity. We know no human being can be completely objective, but they're supposed to at least seek that as the standard for their reporting. Well, this guy just made clear he's nothing objective about him. He hates Donald Trump, and he hates people on his staff, and he's going to mischaracterize them in whatever way he think he needs to, in order to delegitimize them and in order to get other people to be against them. So the truth is what is needed in our country, and we're dealing with people who are trying to get everybody to buy into lies. But the truth is going to win out. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. We'll be back in a moment.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
My encouragement and challenge to every single listener is that you pray and ask the Lord the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? You know, that's the prayer that Paul prayed right after he received Christ and put his faith in the Lord on the road to Damascus. He asked the question, Lord, what do you want me to do? And as it relates to following and serving the Lord, that's a wise question to pray actually every single day. It's a good prayer and a question to ask the Lord every day. Lord, what do you want me to do? And as it relates to being involved in this important cause of standing for life and standing against the tragedy of abortion, the question and prayer is a wise one to pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? There are many that God would have them to become faithful intercessors who pray every day. Lots of spiritual warfare happens around every pregnancy clinic, and lots of spiritual warfare happens around abortion clinics as well.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
We're back, and I'm sitting in for Abraham Hamilton III. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson. I said all that, so folks, by way of saying, in part, praise God for American Family Radio, because you need a place where you can turn for the truth. Now, I'm not saying, you know, we're the only network that's offering truth, but in terms of a nationwide radio network, I'll tell you, I'm not aware of anything better. I'm really not. And not just because I'm here. I felt this way before I started working for the network, and I continue to feel this way and will continue to feel this way long after I am no longer a part of it. Whenever God sees fit for that to be the case, whether it's, you know, me going home or something else that just kind of pulls me in a different direction. But let me give you an example of this, and then in the next segment, I'll start taking your calls. Did you all hear about this ABC reporter in the LA, the Los Angeles local ABC affiliate reporter, who said the following? And this is a quote: "Who said the following?" And you just wonder, folks, how can anybody be this dumb and this misled? But here's what he said. He said the situation of the riots, quote, could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive confrontation and altercation between officers and demonstrators. Did you hear that? If you turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn. In other words, you introduce law enforcement into that very peaceful, happy, carefree situation of people just sitting around. You just wonder, what is he smoking? What is he snorting? Have you seen any of the pictures? I mean, I saw a line of, I don't know, 6-7 cars all burning, all on fire. Those fires are a hazard. First of all, they're a health hazard because they're spewing toxic smoke into the air. They are certainly a physical hazard because someone could get burned in the melee. You get thrown into one of these things, or one of them explodes and casts fiery debris somewhere. And so for this guy to characterize this as people having fun watching cars burn, and then it ignores this question, well, how did the fires get started? It's almost as if people, you know, just bought some popcorn and sat on the sidewalk and cars began to burn. They just kind of spontaneously erupted. You know, it was a spontaneous combustion. Oh, look at that one. Yeah, that one just started burning. Oh, wow. Yeah, look, there's another one that started burning. They were burning because rioters and looters and criminals set them on fire. So the notion that they're just a bunch of fun-loving people sitting around watching the cars burn, who does he think was watching them burn? probably some of the people who set them on fire in the first place. And introducing law enforcement is going to make things much, much worse because these people are just having fun and law enforcement is going to get in there and they're going to, the fun's going to end. And it's going to be a confrontation. I mean, can you believe that a reporter? Well, of course you can believe it because, but it just, it is a testament to the degree to which these people have disconnected from reality and bought into the lie. And by the way, folks, not to put too fine a point on this, but you know, people who enjoy watching private property burn with the possibility of people being injured by that fire are pyromaniacs. They don't enjoy that. That's not fun. So it makes me wonder about this guy in all kinds of ways, that he thinks this is somehow fun. I mean, I came home not too long ago from a little excursion, and I saw on my neighbor's property a fire going. Now, you know, we've got some distance between our houses, so it certainly posed no danger to our home, at least not of any immediate sort. But I could see the fire, and I didn't know what was burning. I just knew whatever it was. And it wasn't the house, but there was something, and maybe the shed or something, but I'm far enough away that I would need binoculars, really, to be sure of what was going on. And I did get my binoculars, try to figure out what was going on. Then I heard the sirens coming. But look, I didn't stand around enjoying watching the fire burn. Once I knew the firefighters were there, I said, well, they've got it covered. I went on about my business. And my only concern was that, you know, and I didn't see any ambulance or anything like that, that nobody was hurt, that none of my neighbors were physically injured in it. As I think of some kind of shed or something, because I could tell it was not the house itself, but probably something happened in a shed or something like that that they have on their property. So my point, though, is who sits around and watches private property burning and enjoys that and thinks that's fun? I mean, that's not a campfire. But, you know, again, President Donald Trump said, they're the enemies of the people. And I tell you who sits around and thinks that's fun. People who don't care about what happens to other people. People who don't care about what happens to private property. People who don't care about law and order and maintaining public safety so that people can come and go freely without fear of being harmed or injured or attacked. Those are the people who enjoy seeing the fires of society burn. You know, folks, this takes me back to Barack Obama. He said, and that this whole scenario, what's going on in L.A., and this general mindset that we see in many, thank God, not in the majority, but in a very, very significant minority in the country who really hate our country. You know, I mean, some of these people are waving Mexican flags, and in which case, you know, you want to say, well, listen, just take your Mexican flag and go to Mexico. If you think it's so great, why are you here making trouble waving the flag of another country when you could go there and live in whatever utopian world you believe that to be? Just go live there. But for people to be spitting on the American flag and burning the American flag and throwing rocks at police officers and calling ICE officers the Gestapo and you know, Nazis and jackbooted thugs and disrespecting them and spitting on them. And I mean, Barack Obama said famously before his election, we are only 5 days away from the fundamental transformation of America. And you know what? He was not lying about his intentions, at least. He was not lying. Because I really believe that he legitimized disdain and disrespect for our country. Not that there weren't people who disdained our country or citizens who disdained our country already. Barack Obama didn't invent that. I mean, we had communists in our country who hate the American system long before Barack Obama was born. But nobody ever saw, most people didn't see that as legitimate. Barack Obama legitimized it because he's the first president of the United States that approached the country with a certain distant disdain. You know, went around the world on an apology tour telling the world how bad America is. He is the first president to legitimize homosexuality and sexual deviancy as something that we should admire. And he said as much, that we should admire same-sex relationships. And of course, he's the one who appointed the judges who ultimately sanctioned, claimed that there was a constitutional right for two men and two women to get married. And he was the one who, after a struggle within, he was lying then because he wasn't struggling within. Barack Obama's been in support of same-sex marriages long before he ever ran for president, but he lied because he knew the American people weren't ready to hear that. And when he thought he could get away with it, he finally did. And I think Joe Biden was his stalking horse who came out first. And once they saw that there wasn't that big a reaction to Joe Biden, then he came out and said, oh, yeah, well, you know, I've decided that it is a good thing. Oh, I tell you what, you sure embraced it with enthusiasm, because when Obergefell was decided, Barack Obama lit the White House up with rainbow colors. These folks are not about justice for illegal aliens. They are not about racial justice. These folks are about deconstructing America as we know it, the fundamental transformation of our country. That's what they're after. And illegal aliens are simply another tool to be used in that regard, another lie. It's not about them. It's not about helping them. It's not about justice for them. It's not about a better life for them. It's about them as a potential lever of power to get what they want and to turn the country into what they want it to be. That's all it's about. One guy, I may have mentioned this yesterday, I don't think I got to it, but this guy who works for the Marxist Socialist No Brains channel said that ICE agents were acting like slave catchers. Now, you've got people who are criminals, people who already have deportation orders. They're in our country illegally. They came illegally. They don't belong here. They should be out of the country, and ICE doing its lawful duty of apprehending them and deporting them somehow turns the ICE agents into the equivalent of slave catchers. But you see, this is the lie that is intended to undermine American society, culture, our legal system. It is intended to delegitimize us as a nation. That's what a lot of this stuff is about. It's about delegitimizing our country. And praise God for you and so many across the land. And by the way, this is a blessing in disguise in this sense. The more they come out, the crazier they demonstrate themselves to be, the more out of touch with the reality of the average working American they show themselves to be, the average parent, the average person just trying to live their lives and do something meaningful and productive with their lives, the more Americans are going to wake up to the fact that these people are a major internal threat to our country, and that they should never be voted for, they should never be supported, that we've got to cast them aside politically and socially. We got to cast them aside. Love them, pray for them, but don't ever put them in positions of power, because their real job is to smash our country as we know it, smash us if we're in the way, and really build out of those ashes a kind of Marxist, socialist, racist, sexually deviant culture, one that is made in their own image, in their own likeness, one in which there are no absolute moral rules other than the ones that they themselves concoct out of the wickedness of their own hearts. And that then becomes the rule. Because God is not right, their might is what's right. And so if they say it's good, it's good. If they say it's bad, it's bad. They don't care what the Bible says. They don't care what God says. They don't care what any pastor says. They don't care what any. They don't care what heaven says, because they're really committed to what hell says. And that's what they want for our country. They want our country to become California. They want our country to become Massachusetts. They want our country to become Maryland. They want our country to become Illinois. They want our country to become Vermont. They want our country to become Maine. They want the whole country to look like these crazy blue states in which almost anything goes. Really, what they've become is glorified insane asylums, where the abnormal is normal and the normal people are to be shunned and disdained and persona non grata because they dare, as Donald Trump often does, because they dare to adhere to truth. I want to give you the number now because I want your reflection on what's going on in L.A. And of course, Gavin Newsom, you know, has sued President Trump already because he, President Trump, I've said in many ways, the man really is a brilliant negotiator because, you know, I am hearing that the moment he called out the National Guard and he's sending another 1,000 and then threatened to send the Marines, somehow things calmed down. They ratcheted down several notches, so you know. And the Marines aren't coming. Apparently, they're being put on hold while they get briefed. But if that's what it takes to maintain law and order, let's do it. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III here on the Hamilton Corner. Back in a moment.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at afn.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at afn.net.
Is our theology of money upside down? Our vision is that all Christians would see God as their ultimate treasure. You know, it's a game changer of an idea. And we start with this idea that God owns everything. And we are his household managers of what he has entrusted to us. So we own nothing, but we have stewardship responsibilities.
Faith and Finance with Rob West, weekdays at 9 a.m. Central or on the AFR app.
Attention husbands and fathers. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. As we near Father's Day, let's remember the call for husbands and fathers. The Bible says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word." Pastor and author Joel Beakey has written a short book titled How to Lead Your Family, where he explains how Christian husbands and fathers share in a limited way Christ's three offices of prophet, priest, and king, and how this should be manifested in instructive, sacrificial, and loving leadership. Hear our most recent program with Joel Beakey at thechristianworldview.org, and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
And we're back. The number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'm going to take your calls here in a second. So just think about this topsy-turvy Isaiah 5 reality that we're dealing with. ICE agents are bad. Rioters are good. ICE agents cause the violence. The rioters are peaceful. Burning cars, they're just having fun watching burning cars. Law enforcement, National Guard showing up, they're only making things bad. This is the unreal world that they want us to somehow believe and that they want to promulgate all over this country. So they're really trying, this is, again, another way of trying to deconstruct America as we know it. We are a Judeo-Christian country. Culturally, we are a Christian nation. Our values and ideals are promoted and have their foundation in Christian ideals, and they want to completely destroy all of that. They want to deconstruct all of that. Because look, folks, here's the bottom line. If rights and liberty come from God, that means certain things that they would claim to be rights and claim to be liberty can't possibly come from God. You can't claim from that. I have the right under the Constitution to enculturate a three-year-old child to believe that he or she was born in the wrong body, and then to get them to go along with whatever I want to do to them to prepare them for surgery and whatnot and to separate them from their parents. I have a constitutional right to do that. No, you don't. God's not giving anybody the right to do that, just like God's not giving anybody the right to kill an unborn baby. So see, they've got to get rid of all of that in order to construct a system that satisfies their own perverse lust and desires for power, for sexual gratification, for control of others, for the ability to indoctrinate everybody. So they basically create a whole population that just goes along with what you want to do. That's what they're trying to create in America, and they're never going to get it done because by the grace of God, you and I are here and millions of others who are going to stand up for the truth. And folks, this is the key. We got to pray, no question, but we have to have an absolutely unapologetic and courageous stand for the truth, no matter what they say about us. They can call us Nazis. They can call us Christian nationalists. They can call me and Uncle Tom. They can call us whatever they want to call us. But our attitude has got to be, for Christ I live, for Christ I die. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And you can't defeat me for that reason. All right, 888-589-8840. Let's go to the phones. Let's get to Dawn in Texas. Dawn, welcome.
Thankful to be able to be on here with you.
Well, thank you, Dawn. I'm glad to hear from you.
Thank you for all you do. I am an over-the-road truck driver, and I'm in California every week. And I would like to say that there is other things going on right now than the ICE agents. In fact, Huntington Beach, California. People, today's the day. Go out and vote no on A and on B. Save your children's minds from these pornographic books they want to put in schools. There is a movement, and right now, we cannot rest as believers in Christ. Get out there tonight. Tonight's the night. After 8 p.m., they're going to make the decision on whether your children are going to be looking at pornographic books in your public schools. So spread the word and get out there and vote today.
Thank you, Dawn. Thank you so very much for that. Folks, you heard her. If you're out there in California, that's the thing, right? We've got to vote for the truth, stand for the truth, speak up for the truth, work for the truth. We can never, ever, ever surrender. You know, I've said, you know, jokingly, I've said, you know, I am a son of George Washington. And I've joked and said, you know, people say, wow, you don't look much like George Washington. But, you know, but of course, I mean, we are all spiritual and intellectual children of George Washington, meaning we don't quit. We don't surrender our liberty ever. So God bless you, Dawn. Thank you for letting us know that. And folks, yeah, by all means, take a stand. And if you're not in California, but you got other stuff going on, take a stand there too. Let's go to Jason in Texas. Jason, welcome.
Hey, Brother Bishop. Thank you for taking my call. I know you're blessed. I'm blessed as well, brother. It's so good to hear you back on the radio. And
thank you,
I think you should fill in for every time that you got somebody missing. I think you should be filling in because I love hearing you on the radio, brother.
Well, thank you, brother. That's kind of you.
Me and my wife had a baby right after you went off the radio, and I named her Rain Justice. And my mom said, why not Rain Grace? And I said, well, Mom, a boy comes in my daughter's bathroom, it ain't going to be grace. It's going to be justice. So, but we all know all this is by design, brother. I think all them leftists are a bunch of pedophiles. I think a lot of them have been on Epstein's Island, and, you know, they're just trying to destroy this country from within. And I don't know. We're just going to keep fighting a good fight and flying our flags and speaking the truth. And I do got a sticker on my truck that says, don't California my Texas. So that ain't going to happen around here. But we love you, brother. God bless you.
Love you too, Jason. Thank you so much, man. Believe me, I hear you. We want to love everybody. We want to show people grace. But, you know, there does come a moment. There does come a moment when we are responsible for defending that which God has placed under our care and stewardship. And I hear you. No man is going into the restroom with my granddaughter, period. And I hope we can talk that through. But either way, it's not going to happen. And I'm not in any way encouraging violence, but I'll tell you what, folks, even Jesus said when they came to arrest him, they said, well, if you want me, let these go. And Jesus was so powerful when they said, we see Jesus, I am he. And when he said, I am he, well, they fell back. I think he was letting them know, I'm going to surrender myself to you, but you're not taking that which God has put in my care. And I feel the same way about my family and innocent people around me. So praise God. Let's go to Jerome in Texas as well. Jerome, welcome.
Bishop, God bless you. I was just telling my niece, I said AFR Radio is like having an all-star baseball team, the bench, everybody. I'm so glad that you're on. I'm not even disappointed that Abraham is not on. I love Abraham so much. I said, oh, my God, Bishop is on the radio. God
thank
bless
you, brother.
Listen, I'm praying for your protection because you are speaking the truth straight out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are speaking the truth about the political and the cultural situations that we have going on in America right now. It is virtually a civil war, in my opinion, that's going on in L.A. because when people are actually supporting the criminality and the lawlessness, then it begs me to wonder, what in the world are we thinking? Are we talking about Americans that are supporting the very criminals that are out to harm them? Oh, my God. Bishop, I thank you so much. I'm going to just cut it short right there because I have too much in my heart to say. God bless you.
Well, God bless you. Thank you for calling, Jerome. I really appreciate hearing from you. Folks, I may have shared this with you yesterday, but Ecclesiastes 8:11, you got your own Bible. Mark it in there. The next time some liberal tells you, well, you know, you can't punish people because they grew up in poverty and you know, there's racial injustice and there's social injustice. Here's what Ecclesiastes 8:11 says. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. If we do not punish the evildoers, we cement their hearts to do more evil. Now, that's the Bible. That's not E.W. Jackson. That's the Bible. And you're right. These folks that are justifying this wickedness and coddling these criminals and want to bring more of them in here and want to bring them back when we get them out of the country. They want to bring them back. These folks, again, I am convinced that they hate the rest of us. They just don't want us to flourish. They don't want us to prosper because they don't want our flourishing and prospering in our country as presently constituted as a constitutional republic gets in the way of their fundamentally changing the nation. So they don't want us to have peace. They don't want us to have law and order. They don't want us to have schools that educate our children on the glories of our country and the greatness of our country and the liberties that we enjoy and the God who gave us this nation and who gives us our. They don't want any of that because all of that gets in the way of what they're trying to accomplish. So and you're right. We're going to keep fighting. And guess what? We win. We win because Jesus has already won the victory for us. All right, let's go to Tyrone in Oklahoma, I believe. Yes, Tyrone, welcome.
Well, thanks for taking my call. And I agree with you say the inmates have taken over the asylum. But we have to recall back when Antifa was taking over, when they said it was unfair because the police, they were outgunned by the police. And then they heard, we have to defund the police. So it seems to me like this ideology is trying to turn us into a gangster paradise. It's sort of reminiscent of the Islam ideology where, oh, we're going to hurt you, but, oh, don't hurt us. And like the kids who took over the campuses, they were taking over the campus against the Jews, yet when they took over the buildings, they said, we want that special water. You wouldn't want it to be dehydrated, would you? You know, like, it's like their lawlessness is supposed to be protected. They talk about their rights when they break the law, but they're breaking all the laws themselves and asserting other people's rights. It's sort of a, and if anybody ever read Uncle Tom's Cabin, they don't know what they're talking about because the guy was standing up for rights and bravery. But anyway,
he was a Christian hero. He was a Christian hero, Tyrone. He was a Christian hero.
Yeah, and people, and I tried to get, you know, African Americans to read the book. They don't want to read it because what they heard somebody say about it instead of reading from. We've got to think for ourselves because Christianity is neither black nor white. We're all God's children.
And come on, brother. You listen, and brother, that'll preach.
I mean, we can't go left or right. The way to truth is a narrow way.
Yes, sir.
And we have to keep that in mind. And even, and I got this. The progressives, they're not crazy. They're smart, and they use stupidity like Hillary Clinton. She didn't know what a classified meant. And then
all right, Tyrone, listen. Tyrone, you and I could go for a while. Thank you for the call, brother. And listen, I'm going to remember that phraseology. That was good. A gangster's paradise. And I thought to myself, you know, that's what communism is, really. It's gangsters running a society, doing whatever they want to do, and the people are simply at their disposal. Thank you for the call, Tyrone. Let's get to Mark in Arkansas. Mark, welcome.
Looking at these riots that's going on, I think it's just another 2020, and I think it's probably funded by the Democrats too.
Oh yeah, Mark, have you heard they're giving these expensive face shields to the rioters, like the ones that police wear? Well, you know, people aren't going out and buying those. Somebody is buying those and supplying them, excuse me, to the rioters. So, yeah, you're right. Somebody's financing and organizing this.
Well, you know, in 2020, several times there was witnesses said there was U-Haul trucks pulled up.
Yep.
And it was loaded with police stuff even, shields and clubs and stuff.
Well, look, Kamala Harris raised over $40 million to get these people out of jail when they got locked up. $40 million. So you can't tell me that she just kind of went out and grassroots people gave her that money. There were some heavy hitters pouring that money in. So you are absolutely right. This is not happening by accident. This is somebody's design who's got bad things in mind for this country. Hey, Mark, thank you. You are the last caller of the day. Brother, thank you so much for the call. Thank all of you for your encouraging words. Really do appreciate that. Listen, thank you, Abraham Hamilton III, for calling upon me. I've been happy to sit in for you. Keep the great work going, brother, because you're doing a tremendous job. God bless each and every one of you. You all know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.